Rolling forward, Dr. Sister Science Facts. It was disinformation, misinformation, outright lies and repeating of hoaxes and distorting information just to pretend whatever they wanted was true.
Yet somehow this nearly 80-page report that is all about the health of children doesn't mention the number one cause of death in children.
Rolling forward, Dr. Sister Science Facts. Welcome to this week's episode of the Rolling Forward podcast.
I'm Dr. Alicia Rowland.
I'm Dr. Stephanie Rowland.
We are physicians, we are researchers, and we're interested in health news.
And we're back from the southwest of France, so we're ready to dive right into some more health news with you guys.
Lots happened while we were away.
The Make America Healthy Again, or MAHA report, that was released on May 22nd by the MAHA Commission, which is chaired by RFK Jr.
The goal of this report is to address and reverse the rise of chronic disease among American children. So this episode, we're going to go all into detail about this MAHA report. We'll talk about the goals of this report and why it was created. What are some good points the report makes? What are some concerns that people have? And then our overall takeaways.
That's right. The good, the bad, and the ugly. So let's get started.
So this 78-page report,
it looks like they've changed it and it's now 72 pages.
Okay. So this long report.
It is a long report.
This nearly 80-page report has the goal of addressing and reversing the rise of chronic diseases among American children, which has been a longstanding goal of RFK Jr. And the report outlines a broad plan to improve children's health by targeting what it identifies as root causes of illnesses in modern American life. It's overall divided into four sections. They are ultra-processed foods, chemical exposures, the effect of living in the digital age, which really focuses on less physical activity in kids, and over-medication of kids.
And overall, RFK Jr. has asked Congress for $500 million to support MAHA initiatives in general. And this report, I think, was an opportunity to really see his priorities outlined in black and white.
What are some factual points in this report that we should take away?
We should just start with the facts. So something that was repeated over and over in this report is that rates of chronic disease are rising among American children. And this is true. Public health experts agree with this. We have more asthma, more obesity. We do see more chronic illness among children.
But is that the whole story?
You know, the approach taken in this report towards chronic disease seemed overly simplistic, where they kept blaming this rise in chronic disease on ultra-processed food, food dyes, chemical additives, saying that these were the core drivers of illness. I do think it's something that we should be worried about. Maybe these ultra-processed food dyes, and chemical additives are playing a role, but they're certainly not the only players. And if we're not focusing on social determinants of health, then we're really not focusing on what families need right now.
I just find it hard to believe that these are the main drivers of chronic disease in America, while we're completely ignoring things like built environment and food deserts and food insecurity and a lot of these social determinants of health that we know have such a huge impact on childhood health.
And in line with that was another point made by the report. The report is advocating that kids should have access to safer food, cleaner environment, and should have less exposure to toxins. And that makes sense. Yes, I'm in agreement with that. I think we all are.
I think it's hard to find anybody who's like, let's have more toxic exposure in the water.
Right? And this has consistently been a goal of RFK Jr. You know, he's got a long history of being an environmental lawyer, where he is fighting against toxin exposure in the environment. And he's really focused recent actions on removing food dyes and removing fluoride in the water. But my concern is that he's focused on things like food dyes. He's also been focusing on fluoride, which is not really associated with health harms. I am concerned about lead in water, and that's largely been absent from his platform so far. I've seen so much more from him focus on removing fluoride and really very little from him about addressing lead, which is neurotoxin, and there are communities in America that do not have access to safe water.
So in addition to a very minimal discussion of lead, there also has been very little focus on forever chemicals, which are a group of synthetic chemicals that do not break down in the environment or the human body.
Hence forever.
They have been a focus of the Environmental Protection Agency, and there have been guidelines about the maximum amount of forever chemicals that should be in water. And yet, this administration has actually extended the deadline for meeting those requirements.
Meaning that more forever chemicals can be in water, they're not being as aggressive in removing or regulating them. And that's what confuses me about this, is that RFK Jr. has this long history of being an environmental lawyer, but what he's focused on doesn't really align with where the science is, which is we should be worried about lead and forever chemicals. And instead, he's spending his time and energy focusing on things like fluoride, which at the levels that it's currently in the water is completely safe.
And actually beneficial.
And so it's just disappointing to see so much time, energy, money, science, resources being devoted to non-issues instead of focusing on very real issues, like so many communities in America that need lead removed from water.
The report also goes on to advocate for more holistic health approaches, encouraging a larger focus on nutrition, exercise, and mental health for kids. We need more support for preventative medicine, and this is something that I think all physicians would agree with.
But at the same time that this report is coming out from HHS saying that we need to focus on nutrition, exercise, and mental health, the administration is gutting mental health care, that there has been actions taken this week to roll back mental health parity. Mental health parity is the idea that insurances need to cover mental health care the same way that they cover physical health care. So you can't say your copay for your diabetes is $20, but your copay for your anxiety is $100. There needs to be parity and equivalence between it.
This idea of mental health parity was first introduced in 2008 under the Mental Health Parity and Addiction Equity Act, which was led by Patrick Kennedy.
And Patrick Kennedy worked closely with his father, then Senator Ted Kennedy, to pass this bill. And since 2008, we've had a concept of mental health parity, but it isn't always perfectly executed because insurance companies and others have looked for loopholes. And in 2024, the Biden administration put forward some important guidance to close some of these loopholes. And yet, this week, the Trump administration said that they would not enforce mental health parity, giving an out to insurance companies and others to not provide mental health care in the same way that they provide physical health care.
The administration and this report also is attacking the use of medications for mental health treatment, particularly in kids. It's attacking medications used for ADHD, used for anxiety, depression, used for more serious mental illness, including antipsychotics. While there is good scientific evidence that these medications can be very helpful for children and safe.
Which is baffling, because at the same time that this report says on paper that they're advocating for mental health, the administration is gutting mental health care through elimination of parity, plus these Medicaid and Medicare cuts that we've talked about. And then the report is also attacking evidence-based treatments like antidepressants and like ADHD medications for which there is broad established medical consensus. And instead, RFK Jr. has advocated for this idea of wellness farms to help people who might have anxiety or depression or substance use, which are basically these farms, he's saying, will exist in rural areas without access to modern technology, and people will need to do organic farming and live in community in order to cure themselves. And as a psychiatrist and as someone who has studied the history of psychiatry, especially in this country, not only does this not have evidence, it has echoes of institutionalization, forced labor, and coercive practices that have existed in mental health care before. And it's something that really worries me.
So those were our highlights of the good points of the report, and yet I feel like maybe not so good.
I mean, it's true. There were some good points, like chronic diseases are rising. We need safer food, cleaner environment, less toxin exposure. So those were good points, even if I disagree with how they were framed. Which then brings us to what were the bad points, if those were the good points.
There have been a lot of concerns about this report, and this report has actually been revised and reposted several times because of the concerns about AI-generated content.
That's right. If you've heard about this report, it's probably in relation to this AI generated thing. So this report cites 500 research studies. And when you look at it, 7 of the studies apparently don't even exist.
I think it might even be more than 7.
7 definitely do not exist. That's been confirmed that there's no such study. And then 37 citations were sort of repeated in this way that had a marker of AI generation. So at least 7 don't even exist. And 37 other citations were pretty problematic, suggesting that AI was used to write this report.
Only half of the citations had links. And when you click on all those links to be led to the website or the study that it cites, more than 20 of those links were dead, suggesting that the paper doesn't exist.
And this really made people think that AI was used because AI tends to have these hallucinations where it invents content that is not real. So that if you write a research paper with AI and you submit it for a class without ever checking it, it's likely that it's going to have hallucinated references, which are references that share a lot of words and authors, maybe journal names with other real references, but those references themselves are not real. They were made up.
AI doesn't understand that your entire reference is one block of text that comes together. And so it kind of like picks and chooses this person's name and this person's study and this other journal because it doesn't understand that it exists as one. And so a lot of times if you ask ChatGPT to provide you a reference or a citation, it'll make one up.
So those were the references that seemed to be AI generated and were fake or manufactured. But more than that, there were concerns with the actual references as well.
There was a lot of misrepresentation of studies where it was misrepresenting conclusions from studies. It was inaccurately summarizing. It was drawing inaccurate conclusions and that the research findings were taken out of context from the report. So for example, multiple cited authors from this report have come out to say, my study was included in this report, and that is not what my study has said.
For example, Dr. Mariana Figueroa at Sinai said her work was miscited in the wrong journal. And she says that her research was cited as evidence that electronic devices in children's bedrooms disrupt sleep onset. But she states that her study was actually on college students and measured melatonin suppression, not sleep. And so there's some overlap with what she was studying, but it was completely misrepresented and wasn't, in fact, what her research found at all.
Similarly, Dr. Catherine Keyes from Columbia University has publicly said that she did not write the paper that was cited to her in the MAHA report. She does have work in a similar area. So she does work on adolescent anxiety and depression and has shown that adolescent girls have higher levels of depressive symptoms than boys, but her study results didn't match what the MAHA report said.
So there are fake references here, and then the real references are being distorted. It's not even that the studies are being distorted, it's that they're being misrepresented, which especially became concerning with the next point, which was how this report talked about vaccines with gross inclusion of misinformation and disinformation.
We've talked about vaccines ad nauseam, and this report is no different. It is part of RFK's agenda to question vaccine safety and efficacy here in the US, and honestly is just gross misrepresentation of facts. So for example, it says in quote, since 1986, the number of recommended vaccines on the CDC schedule has increased from 3 injections to 29 injections, and goes on and on to talk about how much vaccines have increased. This is true. We have more vaccines than we did. We have better science, better knowledge.
Which is what happens with science. We come up with new treatment, new vaccines, new ways of preventing illness.
But in 1986, it was not 3 vaccines. It was 10 doses covering 7 diseases. So even just the gross number is wrong. It's just wrong.
I mean, they're so focused on the number of vaccines as opposed to what these vaccines are or what they do. That doesn't seem to matter. And there was this misrepresentation about the number of vaccines on the American vaccine schedule versus, let's say, Denmark's schedule.
It said, quote, Denmark, which has nearly half as many as the U.S., which is wrong. It's just frankly wrong. So Denmark follows the European schedule, not the CDC schedule.
And it's expected that there's going to be global differences in vaccines based on rates of illnesses, patterns of disease, what happens. So we shouldn't expect vaccines in Europe to perfectly match vaccines in America.
Denmark has slightly fewer vaccines than what's recommended in the US. They have about 13 vaccine types, and we have 16 vaccine types in the US. It's not a difference due to scientific information. It's actually based on financial indications. So in Europe, the cost of vaccines come into their recommendations and guidelines. The main difference is there are maybe 3 or 4 less vaccines in the schedule. It is not nearly half.
No, not nearly half. And you know what? There are some vaccines we give in the US that they don't give in Europe. And then there are some vaccines they give in Europe that we don't give in the United States. Again, because there are different types of illnesses that spread and different concerns. So I think to say Europe has half as many, first of all, it's frankly a lie. And then second of all, it just really misrepresents the situation.
And again, they perseverate over this point that we need more information, more science, more clinical trials. And it says, quote, our understanding of vaccine safety and any links to chronic disease would benefit from more rigorous clinical trial design, including the use of true placebos, larger sample size, and longer follow-up periods.
Can I just go, false? Like, we've gone over this, but we have rigorous clinical trial designs in vaccine safety. We've done this, and RFK Jr. just doesn't want to accept the science. He just doesn't want to.
We have a whole episode about the origin story of the vaccine autism hoax. It's called Vaccine Autism Hoax, the origin story. I just repeated myself.
Yes, but it's worth repeating because this is a hoax about vaccines and autism, and that it has been thoroughly debunked. And for someone like RFK Jr. in this position of power to continue to repeat this while simultaneously saying no one should take medical advice from him and also leading HHS, it's just really concerning. And so this report totally failed in how they spoke about vaccines. It was disinformation, misinformation, outright lies and repeating of hoaxes and distorting information just to pretend whatever they wanted was true.
If he wants to perseverate over Denmark, it has one of the highest vaccination rates of all countries. And they have a study that we talk about in that episode about the vaccine autism hoax, where nearly every single Danish child had childhood vaccines, and 500,000 children are included. So we want to talk about larger sample sizes. Look at Denmark.
Exactly. And then I think, you know, we can't talk about this report about children's health without addressing the very real elephant in the room, which is the number one cause of death for kids in America between the ages of 1 and 19.
Which is gun violence.
Firearms. Firearms, gun violence causes nearly 20% or 1 in 5 deaths for kids between 1 and 19. And that includes suicide, homicides, and accidental use of firearms resulting in death.
Yet somehow this nearly 80-page report that is all about the health of children doesn't mention or address the number one cause of death in children.
And I don't even know what to say about that. But if we want to get serious about kids' health, we have to talk about firearms. We have to talk about gun violence. And if this administration is serious about making America healthy again, if they're serious about the health of our kids, they need to address that. So to put out a report like this and to not even mention it once, it's disgraceful. Deaths among kids from gun violence have increased more than 100% in the past 10 years. Firearms became the number one cause of death for kids in 2020. So this is a recent development. This is major. And this is something that we need to be addressing. And our former Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, declared this a public health crisis, trying to divert resources towards this. This is something we need to be focusing on.
Instead, in 2025, the Trump administration rescinded the designation of gun violence as a public health crisis.
I think we just have to sit with that, because how can we be serious about kids' health if we're not willing to talk about the reality of gun violence when it comes to suicides, homicides, and accidental firearm deaths? But it's happening. And if we're not willing to talk about it, if we're not willing to study it, if we're not willing to make changes, then how can we expect to see an improvement in the health of American kids?
It's just flabbergasting to me that you can make this huge report about improving the health of children and completely ignore the number one cause of death. The number one cause of death in children.
Number one. And so those are our takeaways from the MAHA report. I think you've got a great quote here from Dr. George Benjamin at the American Public Health Association, summarizing how he felt about this report, and I can't help but agree.
He said, quote, "This is not an evidence-based report, and for all practical purposes, it should be junked at this point. It cannot be used for any policymaking. It cannot even be used for any serious discussion because you can't believe what's in it."
So, Alicia, what you're telling me is, yes, it's very strange. Doesn't make any sense.
I mean, this quote is the quote that's going to keep on giving.
Yes, it's very strange. Doesn't make any sense. Brainworms, dead bears, influencers. Ooh, yes, it's very strange. Doesn't make any sense. Flat Earth, fluoride, unregulated supplements, cancel vaccines.
Yes, it's very strange. Doesn't make any sense. I hope you liked our musical interlude. And that's our show for this week. Send us an email at rollingforwardshow@gmail.com. That's R-O-L-I-N forwardshow@gmail.com. If you have thoughts about this report or anything else that you think that we should be highlighting.
You can reach out to us on any social media, TikTok, Blue Sky, Instagram.
We're all there. And I'm Dr. Stephanie Rowland.
I'm Dr. Alicia Rowland.
And this is the Rowland Forward podcast. Thank you for joining us this week.
Until next week.
Yes, it's very strange. Doesn't make any sense. Brainworms, dead bears, influencers. Ooh, yes, it's very strange. Doesn't make any sense. Flat Earth, fluoride, unregulated supplements, cancel vaccines.
Oh, bigger clap, bigger clap.
Bigger clap, you go.
One, two, three.
Well, that was the biggest clap.
Because it only had a little spike when you clapped. It was because I'm really far away.